This podcast exists for entertainment purposes only. Before making any investment decisions, please contact your financial advisor. Welcome back to Man vs. Market, a show where we explore what's going on in the economy, the stock market, and ultimately try to build a portfolio that beats the market. Thank you for all of the support over this last week, and for those who participated in my giveaway, thank you very much for helping me grow this show. If you haven't, please leave a review in order to help me get this podcast out to as many people as possible. All right, taking a look at the ticker SPY, which is the S&P 500 ETF, we see a lot happened during this shortened week. After the crazy green week we saw last week, we're seeing a lot more chop over the last 4 days than we had seen previously. This is almost shaping up to be another spring like we talked about last week, where price action after a large movement begins to condense into smaller waves, up and down, back and forth, as retail traders are waiting to see what the market's next move is going to be. So whenever we do make a move out of this little spring we're in, expect it to be large. Now there are a couple of things that point to more downside rather than upside. If we take a look at the first day of the week on Tuesday, we see a very indecisive candle. After the really strong end to the week last week, the bulls had to find some more momentum early in order to keep this uptrend going. However, despite their best efforts, we can see a very indecisive candle on Tuesday with very large wicks and a very small red body. This is typically a pretty bearish signal, especially after a big uptrend. Again, it means that the buyers have lost a little bit of strength, and those who are kind of in the middle are remaining in the middle. Wednesday, we saw the bears take advantage of that Tuesday, and we saw price action get pushed down quite a bit. We actually cracked underneath that 411.80 level, and everything from there looked pretty bearish. However, the bulls made a pretty unexpected move on Thursday. We saw a rip of about 2% to the upside. However, the bears finished the week with the victory, ending down 1.1% on the week and beneath that 38.2 Fibonacci level near 411.80. This is a key level that both the bears and the bulls have to watch because of the significance that it has played over the last couple of weeks. If the bulls want to make another push to the upside and try to retest that 421.50 level near the 50% Fibonacci retracement, they are going to need to see a strong gap move up early in the week next week. The bears need the opposite. They need to hold this level and continue pushing us back down towards the next level near 398.10. In the long term, the trend is still bearish. From the beginning of the year till now, we've seen every single rip to the upside get sold off pretty quickly. In the midterm, we still see the trend remain bearish. Though we did break out of that midterm downtrend channel, we now see a hidden bearish divergent continuation pattern. If we take a look at the highs set back on May 4th and the highs set yesterday, we are seeing the highs gradually getting lower, while the oscillator in that same time frame is seeing new highs. This is again a hidden bearish divergence pattern and is a continuation pattern that is typically pretty strong. After the bears were able to push us below that Fibonacci level today, the conviction of this pattern remains very strong. And even going to the short term, the bears have another victory in this strong bearish divergence that has played out over the last 3 days or so. That's where we see higher highs in the price and lower highs in the oscillator. This pattern is much clearer on the 65-minute chart. So don't be surprised if the bulls make a strong push early in the week next week to try to hold on to the levels that they have captured so far. However, I fully expect these longer, mid, and short-term trends to continue, and that we should likely see more selling by the end of the week next week. Again, I must also make the disclaimer that technical analysis is just a game of probabilities. I'm looking at the charts and making guesses based off of the probability of the movements that are shaping up. Anything can happen in the real world and completely change all of this. Before we get into the news that we need to be watching, let's very quickly go over the portfolio. Since entering into our sector positions, the S&P is down 0.66%. while our four sector positions are up a little bit. XLE is up 11.2%. XLV struggled this last week and finishes down 0.14% since we entered. XLB is plus 1%. and XLP is minus 3.7%. This translates to about a 2.1% average and is beating the market in that same time frame by about 2.75%. Our precious metals positions have struggled this last week, but we are still seeing decent returns. Gold is up 2.2% since we entered, and silver is up 4.2% since we entered. And our leverage positions of UGL and AGQ, which represents a third of the total position, are up 4.2% and 8.5%. This brings our total metals returns up to 4.24%, beating the market's 2.3% by about 2%. Moving over to the UUP Dollar Index ETF, we have seen a decline of 0.86% since we entered due to a small technical pullback. In the same time, the market's up 5.4%. And because we have struggled with some of the resistance levels, I'm going to actually extend the timeline of this trade from 3 months to 6 months, just because I don't think we're going to see the move that I expect in this smaller 3 month time frame. There is still a hidden bullish divergence and it is still intact. However, it's just going to likely take longer to play out. All we need to do is crack that 23.6 Fibonacci retracement level at about 2740, and we should see new 5 year highs on the dollar. Again, it's called resistance for a reason. It's hard to break to the upside. We are approaching a 5 year resistance for the dollar, so it could be pretty difficult to break above that level. However, if we are able to break above that resistance, fully expect new highs for the dollar. As far as our VXX position goes, I'm actually going to be switching from VXX to UVXY. UVXY is a leveraged version of VXX and will allow us to take advantage of the large move that I fully expect to come in the very near future for the VIX. But overall, our positions have definitely beat the market so far. And these are just tickers. If you were playing options on these positions, your returns would have been much greater. Now, as far as economic news goes, there is not nearly as much this week as there will be next week, as we will get the CPI data for the month of May. I will say, we need to expect volatility leading up to that report. The market is pricing in that inflation has already peaked. If we don't see a great number, we could see a massive sell-off. We did, however, get the jobs report for the month of May, and the labor market continues to look very strong. The economy added 390,000 jobs in May, well above the 322,000 that was expected. Now, despite this great number released on Friday, the market still dumped. And this is a perfect example of why we need to look deeper into reports like these. Just because we had a good month for employment does not mean that stocks will love it as much as an economist would. This even stronger labor market means that more people will be earning more money, which should do nothing to ease inflationary pressures. If anything, this should actually increase them. So this strong jobs report means that the Fed will likely even be more comfortable with aggressive rate hikes going forwards. This is why we actually dumped. Right now, it seems that the prevailing narrative is that we need a recession in order to slow down inflation. This would be done by the decrease in demand and declines in asset markets that could potentially bring down inflation with it, as it has done historically. However, it seems like many economists are overlooking a very scary truth. We could potentially see a recession with inflation, something that economists have dubbed stagflation. And this is an economist's worst nightmare. The reason that stagflation is so scary is that it means we are seeing high inflation rates despite the economy not even growing but contracting. Stagflation can be a vicious cycle that can be very difficult to come out of. Most economists agree that there are four main characteristics of stagflation. The first being a declining GDP, meaning that the economy is contracting. Second is high or quickly rising unemployment. Third is a decline in corporate earnings. And fourth is high inflation. If we take a look at those four criteria relative to what we're currently seeing, it gets a little bit scarier. GDP declined in quarter one, corporate earnings were bad in quarter one / quarter two, and inflation is near 40-year highs. The one thing that's keeping us out of technical stagflation is the very strong labor market. However, unemployment is down to 3.6%. This is a very low number, and there is really nowhere else to go but up. Meaning that if we do see a recession, which I think is very likely, this would almost certainly push this unemployment number up dramatically. if we see this start to happen, we could be in for stagflation. The only time that we have really seen stagflation taking place in the United States was during the 1970s. And that was due to the high inflation, high unemployment, a shrinking GDP, and all-time high oil prices. Sound familiar? The 70s stagflation challenged many of the prominent economic views at the time and has actually shaped the way that we think about economics today. This theory stated that in order to promote economic growth, a country's central bank could simply just increase a money supply to drive up the demand for goods. And because of the recessionary factors, it wouldn't necessarily cause inflation. However, this is exactly the opposite of what we saw in the 1970s. The reason that a modern stagflation could be so scary is that we've already just come out of the COVID-19 pandemic and have just spent record numbers of stimulus in order to try to stimulate the economy. So the central bank would probably really struggle tackling stagflation. Now the question is, what types of investments tend to do well during times of stagflation? Well, the first is precious metals. Now, we already have a pretty large position in precious metals, so I'm not going to cover that too deep. However, I will say, if you are not in a precious metals position yet, I would highly recommend doing so. If you want a recommendation on what positions to take, check out Man vs. Market Episode 2 for a full description of my position. The second asset that tends to do very well during stagflation is agricultural stocks. Now, I have done a lot of research and tried to find which types of agricultural stocks I want to have my money in. As with other types of companies, there are value and growth stocks. During periods of recession, or in this case stagflation, growth stocks tend to wildly underperform value. So I took a look and found the three best value agricultural stocks and made up a portfolio of all three. These are represented by the tickers IPI, BG, and TSN. All three of these companies have a forward PE ratio under 8, and IPI has a forwards PE ratio under 5, meaning that yes, while these could be volatile and a risky position, they are a very good bargain at these prices. So I will be making an agricultural stock position comprised of 1/3 of each of these tickers, and my plan is to hold these for at least a year. Thank you for tuning into this episode of Man vs. Market. Again, I apologize for the weird sound over this last episode. I recorded different parts of the episode in different places, and the audio quality suffered because of that. So again, I apologize. However, I think the final result came out much better than it could have been. Again, thanks to all of you who participated in my most recent giveaway. I really wish I could give every single one of you a prize, but I will continue to do these giveaways going forwards. All right. That's all for now. I'll talk to you guys next week. This